The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, fire. This is an alert, an alarm call. You are sure to have everyone's immediate attention with this call. I can imagine that even now, when I said the word just now, this may have given some of you a bit of a start. Red is the color of fire. It is the signal color that calls for attention. Fire engines are red. A red traffic light says, stop, careful, watch out. We even have the red alert in our church today. The paraments on the altar and on the pulpit are bright red. You enter the church and you see it right away. Something is on fire here. Where did the fire break out? In some back room, some unimportant side building, a room no one has had an eye upon. In this back room, the disciples have shut themselves away since Jesus has no longer been with them. In this back room, the fire started. Something like tongues of fire, as the translation has it, was to be seen above the heads of the disciples. And they went and started telling everyone what they had experienced with Jesus. And everyone could understand what they said, no matter where people came from and what languages they spoke. Fire is an important symbol in many Christian holidays. What would Christmas be without the candles? What would Easter morning be without the Easter candle that we light and celebrate in our churches? A small candle can light up a whole dark room. A small spark can ignite a huge bushfire. Fire is catching, so to speak. It spreads. Like a contagious disease that spreads like an epidemic, or to use a more positive metaphor, like a joyful and enthusiastic person whose joy is simply contagious, who will spread their enthusiasm on to everyone around them. Now, fire does not spread because someone has told it to do so. Go, spread. Fire simply cannot do anything else but spread. When the fire of the Holy Spirit is burning within you, you cannot do anything else but spread it. Or vice versa. If nothing is spreading, there is obviously no fire burning. If you have a candle with a burning flame, you put it up on a candlestick so it will brighten the whole room and so that others can light their candles. You would not think of locking up a candle in a closet. Obviously, if you were to do that, the fire might spread and light the whole closet. More likely, though, the flame would be extinguished. Fire needs oxygen to keep it going, to stay alive. Without oxygen, the flame dies. Some Christians keep their faith sort of locked up in a closet, like if you were to keep a candle locked up in a closet. My faith is my private business, they say. And anyway, religion and politics are those things you don't talk about, aren't they? Remember what Jesus said, though. You wouldn't think of lighting a lamp and putting it under a bowl or under a bushel, as good old King James has it. Of course not. You would put it up on a stand on a candlestick so it can light the whole house. This has even become proverbial in both languages, in English as well as in German. Someone who hides their light under a bushel is someone who hides their talents and who is inappropriately modest about their abilities. However, this is not really about talents and abilities. This is about spreading the fire of God's love. We who follow Jesus are supposed to lighten up the world with our light and spread the fire of God's love. Is your faith burning within you? Or is it suffering from a lack of oxygen? Did you maybe put your candle in a closet or under a bushel? Without access to fresh air? Without exposing it to the breath of God's Holy Spirit? Boy and Girl Scouts and owners of a barbecue grill know this as a fact. A fire needs air. It needs oxygen to get it going. You need to blow on it or use bellows. A tiny flame needs being breathed on in order to keep it alive and to make it grow. Our faith needs being breathed on by God's Holy Spirit. In the Hebrew language, this is all the same word: spirit, breath, wind. Ruach, God's spirit over the waters of creation, God's breath over the waters of creation. Our faith needs this oxygen to keep it going, to keep it alive, and to get it moving. We need God's spirit, God's breath, to blow into our faith in order to make it grow and spread. We need the oxygen and the fresh air of worshiping together, of reading the Bible, of experiencing Holy Communion. The disciples got going, filled with the Holy Spirit. No university classes for them, no exams required. Now I hear some people say, well, let's do it like them. Let's go. Let's just get things going and start activities in our congregations. Let's have the Spirit move us. Yeah, we want to feel the Holy Spirit blowing from our pulpits. We want to hear spontaneous and inspired sermons, not stiff and formal theological language. Well, absolutely, we can only agree. We certainly don't want stiffness and formality. And we certainly want preachers to be inspired by the Holy Spirit. But is that really what this is all about? Let's just get going. Let's get moving. Let's just start a bunch of activities. Is that what the disciples did? Let's not misunderstand. The disciples may not have had a university degree, but they sure had a long and intensive practical and theoretical training with Jesus. They had lived with him. They had had years of experience with him. And when he was no longer visibly with them, they did not just fall into some kind of activism that made them move, but rather they went into a sort of retreat. They withdrew from the public. They prayed. They took some time out for quiet preparation. We also, like the disciples, need that time of retreat, that time out. Time to pray, time to live with Jesus and make our experiences with him. Time for our practical and theoretical training. Time for quiet preparation and prayer. However, we cannot stay there. We cannot stay in that back room forever, where it's so nice and cozy and comfy and safe. We cannot stay in that retreat phase forever. The disciples did get going. After this time out, after this time of retreat, they did get moving. They started telling people about what they had experienced with Jesus. They went up to people. They opened up their mouths without fear of what others might think or say. They started spreading the fire of God's love. Their faith was contagious. It spread like a burning fire. What is keeping us from being contagious, from spreading the fire of God's love? Do you maybe feel you haven't made any experiences with Jesus, so there is nothing for you to tell? If that is the case, I'd like to encourage you, start making experiences with him. Get started with your practical training. Include him in your everyday lives, in your decisions. Make it a habit to talk to him. That's what we call praying. Start listening to what he wants to tell you. That's what we do when we read the Bible or worship together in service. Spend time with him. An hour on Sunday morning isn't bad for starters. What is keeping us from being contagious, from spreading the fire of God's love? Are you a bit shy of other people, maybe? Do you feel you're sitting in your safe and comfy back room and would rather not venture out? There's a solution for that. Ask Jesus for his Holy Spirit. The disciples needed it, and we need it. The disciples were just as afraid as we are to venture out of their safe haven. And Jesus has promised to give us his Holy Spirit. So what is keeping us from being contagious and from spreading the love of God? Are you maybe saying, like some of the prophets, I can't do that. I am way too young, or alternatively, way too old. I can't talk in front of people like Moses did. And anyway, isn't my faith my private issue? Well, no. Christian faith is no backroom faith. It's a contagious faith that needs to spread. If you lock it up in a closet, the flame will die. What's keeping us from being contagious, from spreading the fire of God's love? Well, possibly we have never learned to speak the language of faith. We all know what it's like to learn a new language. Many of us have learned at least one foreign language. We know how difficult that can be. We have all had to learn our vocabulary and study our grammar. But then, all these difficulties are forgotten when we make our first steps in a vacation trip, maybe. When we start talking to people and when we find that it works. I may still be clumsy and awkward in this new language, but people understand me. I may not be able to lead a profound conversation yet, but maybe I can order a cup of coffee. It's the same thing with the language of faith. The Holy Spirit inspires us and gives us the courage to venture out of our back room. But we'll have to study our vocabulary, and we'll have to do the practicing ourselves. The language of faith is a language we need to learn and practice just like every other language. This language certainly should not sound artificial or phony or kitschy. However, we should not overdo it with our concern about getting the tone wrong. We should be much more concerned about remaining speechless and silent and not learning and practicing this new language. So, What is keeping us from being contagious and from spreading the fire of God's love? Nothing, really. If we have been set ablaze by the fire of the Holy Spirit, we will start spreading the fire of God's love. It's not a matter of can I or do I want to. It's simply the nature of fire to spread. And it will be our nature to spread God's love. So let's just do it. Let's just get the fire of Pentecost out there to people. Let's just tell them what we have experienced with Jesus. Let's be contagious with the good news and spread God's fire. Amen.